Hello there, neighbors, and welcome to the Blind Handyman Show. And we're recording right now at the Little Ranch House Studio on Southwood Drive in Lufkin, Texas, show number 128.
Yeah.
And this is August the 11th, year 2005. For the next hour, we're going to talk about building, repairing, and maintaining all, of course, designed with the blind in mind.
That's right.
Here's the host for the Blind Handyman Show, ladies and gentlemen, Don Shaw.
Mr. Tom Houston.
Hey, good to have you with us. My name is Tom Houston, by the way. But here's, I do repeat myself quite often.
Get out of town.
The creator and producer of the Blind Handyman Show, ladies and gentlemen, always making fun of me, Phil Parr.
I never made fun of you. Never have I ever made fun of you.
I can see it. I can tell you're thinking it.
We do give you a hell about. Well, I guess we do.
Well, hello there.
Hell of a thing, isn't it, Thomas?
But, Patterson has an excused absence, I guess, today.
He really does.
He had a sheetrock guy coming today. They're hanging sheetrock over there above your head. You went to help him, Donald.
Yeah, that ceiling hanging sheetrock just isn't as easy as it used to be back in the younger days.
But they make this stand that holds, like it would be, a sheetrock is 4x8, so this would be maybe 3x6.
That's right.
And it's a flat platform, and you lay the sheetrock up on it.
Yep.
And get it right where you want it. The stand probably on rollers.
It's on wheels, yeah.
And then you lock the rollers.
Yep.
And then you just start cranking. Raises the sheetrock up.
That's amazing.
Up to the rafters.
To where you want it, to rack where you want it. Then you put a screw on each corner, and bingo, you got it.
Well, a piece of sheetrock, is it 4x8?
Yeah.
4x8.
My goodness, you know good and well it's heavy as all get out.
Oh, it is heavy.
Yeah, it's fairly heavy.
So you take a man over 60 and another guy over 50.
Yeah, it's a
not used to that type of work.
And
95 degree weather.
We just couldn't.
Goodness gracious.
It just didn't come together. We hung a sheet of sheetrock, I'll say that.
Hey.
Now, a sheet of sheetrock is 3/4 inch thick, right?
Yes.
Yeah, or 5/8 or
something, but it's over a half inch.
Yeah.
We not just hate sheetrock. It's just crap.
It's just nasty, dusty.
It's just worthless. Heavy, worthless.
The problem is the nail gun just didn't. I mean, the nails and the nail gun just. You know, we had this idea. We were both going to hold it and then hold the sheet of sheetrock, which worked.
Pop a couple nails.
Fashion. Then Emily was going to put in a few nails with the nail gun, and then we had the drills with the screws to put in. And but the problem is the nails and the nail gun just don't have big enough heads. They pulled through the sheetrock, pulled right through the nail heads.
And you think she got into something when she went through? She thinks she hit a stud or something?
Oh, yeah. At least on some of them. They just pulled through.
I just put up paneling everywhere, except in my bathroom in there. I let them put sheetrock up in there, but it didn't make this. I think Luann insisted.
The sheetrock stand, that would be the way to go. If you had something to hold the sheet of rock up, one person could then put in the screws, or you'd have plenty of time to do whatever you needed to do to get some screws in to... And the other problem we had was adjusting the screw guns, of course. All this stuff is easy. You know, it's easier to sit and talk about, actually, than to do.
Well, yeah.
And then some of the problems were...
Well, the thing about sheetrock, what I'm trying to say is, why didn't he use some little light, nice paneling? Would have been cheaper and easier to put up, as far as I'm concerned. I guess the sheetrock...
Just want some rock on the ceiling, I guess.
I guess. Everybody, sheetrock, it's popular. It's what everybody uses.
Oh, yeah.
Then you got to put it up, and then you got to tape and float it, and then you got to texture it if you want it to look nice.
Yep.
Exactly. I agree. I think the paneling would be easier, but it's...
He could have gone to Lowe's and found some kind of cheap tongue and groove paneling that you could have put up by yourself. I bet it would have been a foot wide or something. Anyway, he didn't ask me, and I didn't go help him, and so who knows? Filling his pool with a garden hose, huh?
That's what he was doing when I called him, yeah.
Yeah, that would take a day or two or three to
manage
that little task.
Well, we'll get a pool report from him, but this is an excused absence. Last time he quit us. Now, Yana, we don't want y'all to write any letters like you did last time. Get up the big petition. Get a big petition. Bring Don back committee that you formed.
Well, he ought to have, by the time he gets back here on a regular basis,
some real stories.
He ought to have some stories and a half. I guarantee you he will.
Yeah, pool building stories, plastering stories.
He will. Yes, he just jumps into everything head first.
He does.
But all kind of things. things.
Anyway, in case you're wondering, the tree is gone, the fence is fixed. All is well that ends well.
Yeah.
I was out putting up pickets at 3 o'clock in the morning. That's how I told you about that.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Tell us about the pickets.
3 o'clock in the morning, putting up pickets out in the dark. Nail gun.
But out in the cool weather also.
Oh, it was cool. But then, you know, the next night or two after that, it got into 68.
Yeah.
I got one more.
That's great. We had some really nice.
It was 78
mornings.
The morning I was out there sweating.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Tommy.
Here's a guy that broke down, he says, and bought a gasoline-powered weed whacker.
Yeah.
And the model of it was a home light.
I've heard of those.
He also bought some replacement string. Now then, here's his question. How do I refill the spool? I know I have to wind it. But other than that, I haven't a clue. Can someone help me?
I cannot. I have no idea, Shaw.
On our gasoline weed eater, and it's the double line spool, the way you do it is you take off, I don't know, 20 or 30 feet of string, and you divide it in half. And when I say divide it in half, I mean just like take each end and then just trace back down it and get your halfway point. And just kind of figure out about where that is. And then take one end, and the spool that the string winds up on has two holes in it right next to each other, actually. Maybe, I don't know, a half an inch, quarter inch apart.
Uh-huh.
And you put an end of the string, in other words, through each hole.
Uh-huh.
And then just start pulling on both ends equally and pull it up. To, in other words, all you're doing is making a loop through the hole. So both ends of the string should be coming out equal distance. You following me, or did that get confusing?
It sounded all right to me. Here's the guy, though.
Wait, hold it.
Okay.
I absolutely don't understand.
Okay. If you took a 20-foot, just for reference, 20-foot piece of string, weed eater string,
okay,
and folded it in half.
10 feet a piece, yes.
Yeah, so each section would be 10 foot, and you would have like a fold or a loop on one end.
Uh-huh.
This loop would, after you pulled it through the weed eater spool, would be up against the spool, and there would be two 10-foot sections of string
hanging out. Yes.
And then you would take that and just wind it around the spool. Now, there's a certain way it's got to wind. And our spool actually has arrows on it that you can feel. But it's got to be wound usually to the right.
Yeah.
And wind it around to the right and get it all wound on and then put it back on the weed eater. And that should do it.
I think that would work.
That's what you need, huh? That's how you
that's
do
what
it.
You need.
This is a guy that was on the list. And he wrote a little something here about it. I don't know if it helps or not, but here we go. I have a dual string model, which has proven difficult to restring. I've tried various ways, and the wife and children have tried. I would like some input as well, if anyone knows. I know I helped a friend restring his single string weed eater, and when we finished, we just tapped it on the ground, and we could tell if it advanced the string. As to how one uses a weed eater, I just waved it around in front of me and listened for the sipping sound to
hope
tell me
best,
if I was getting the weeds.
Till he got some weeds.
Yeah.
Or heard somebody scream.
Yeah.
Usually leave it to the family, but one can do the task without sight. Just make sure it ain't the wife's flowers.
Good idea.
That makes a lot of sense.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Brian Harkness.
Good to have you with us, Brian Harkness.
I can even turn him a mic on there. Hey.
Guitar player for Ray Price. Guitar player excellence for the Cherokee Cowboy, Brian Harkness. I guess not.
Well, I told
that guitar.
Who did I tell? A friend of my daughter's.
Yeah.
She was up at the house the other day, and I said, well, I know Ray Price's lead guitar guy.
And she said, who's Ray Price?
And, she knew who Ray Price was. She's, Chris is almost 40.
Yeah.
So she knows Ray Price. And, really? You do? And I said, yeah, he's a young guy and good guitar picker, you know. And I said, I also know the lead picker for Gene Watson. You do? I was dropping names coming and going. You
were. You told her you knew Phil Parr, and she said, Phil who?
And I wasn't going to mention that.
This is exactly like my mom's ramp, isn't it?
It is.
Just perfectly like my mom's ramp. I'll have to have this, I guess. Let me set it on the... set on the floor. You don't need your money right now, do you?
No, I don't.
What is that?
You got it's a monitor amp. I'll show you.
A monitor?
Yeah, it's an amp, monitor amp. Just to, here's a power.
Okay.
There's some.
What it is?
Right by the power plug. In the
there's
back.
Some more? Oh.
Feet, if you want to set it up.
I saw those little feet. There's just three of them, though. You right. lost one.
Oh, I get one of these cords to go with it, too, huh?
Yes, sir.
What a guy.
Well, yeah.
Thank you, sir. I'll we'll talk about money later.
Don't worry about it.
I'm not.
What a deal.
I'm not going to worry about it. All
right. eBay time, huh?
eBay time.
Yeah.
He bought this on eBay. He did.
Yeah.
Huh? Go ahead, Tommy.
There's a guy who says he's decided to keep my old computer and set it up in another room.
Ah, this is Max.
Yeah. After trying several alternatives, the moving files from one to the other, it looks like I need to set up a home network.
Yeah.
I have no experience in this area, and I would like to communicate with someone who has. I have a ton of questions, so if you can help me, please help me.
And you got a ton of responses on the list.
That's all. I thought David. Boy. I thought David Farron was probably having a heart attack because it was a little bit off topic. I figured David Farron was probably going to just say, "All right, you're all off the list. I'm the only one left." You know,
enough.
That did go on and on and on and on.
Oh, it went on and on and on. What are some of the reviews?
Lots of good posts.
Lots
though,
of
on
great
that.
Posts. On
yeah,
that.
Really.
What, you have one
I thought I thought you would have a comment on that because that's what you have set up right here, isn't it?
A network?
Yes.
We do, but I didn't. I set it up physically. I did the physical work, but as far as making the computers do what they do, I had nothing to do with that. Lou did all that.
Oh, okay. Because I did it and didn't print any responses. I was.
But
I, that
yeah,
to you.
I did the physical part. But he's got the physical part done. I mean, what he's got, I don't think he knew the difference between a hub and a router. And I don't think he just never had fool with it, with that. But a router's what he needs, and that's what he eventually
that's
got.
What he got. Yeah.
And I think he got a bad one and ended up having to take it back. This is Max we're talking about.
Yeah.
You remember Max, huh?
And then my response was to get a jump drive, a 500 megabyte jump drive or something, and that's what I did. On when I changed computers and just transferred the information, that'll hold most any file you have.
But you don't have a way of transferring files. You don't go to network neighborhood and transfer files.
We have our computers hooked together through a router, our two computers, but we don't have them. No, and we're not sharing anything but an internet connection.
Okay,
and that's it.
Okay, well, there's a way to go to network neighborhood and set them up like...
Oh, yeah, there he is.
Before we had the lightning strike, when we had the other computers, Lou Anne could look at any... could go to any computer and do anything. But now, last time we tried to move some books from one computer to another, for some reason, something didn't work. But it can be... that's a whole specialty.
Whole nother barrel of worms there.
College credits for network for learning to network computers. I mean, it's a whole
good dollars in doing that too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What a deal! At the office, he's got it set up where they can instant message back and forth, and they can share. They all share a printer, and they only have two printers, and they can, they can print from any computer, and there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 computers in that office, and they can print from any computer to the big printer upstairs or the little printer that's down at the reception desk.
And then they can share an internet connection over those.
They all share an internet
computer.
They all share DSL, a DSL.
Well, all I need then at the house, if my wife's computer is going to be online, is a router.
You need a router.
Yeah.
A router.
I mean, just a router will do you.
Now, it's my understanding that a hub will work. What do you know? Do you know anything about this?
The problem is, what that is, you've got to have, I've heard you've got to have one computer on to supply the other one, and then you will also rob resources from your main computer to supply the second one, where the router at least will divide the resources out equally. So.
Well, and the router also, oft times, our router has a firewall in it, and you've got to have a firewall to stay in.
Yeah, need a firewall.
Router's got a firewall, and
but yeah, Tom, get a 2-port or 4-port router, and you'll be good to go.
Sure.
Hey, all right. I may do that when she gets a decent computer.
What else you got?
Oh, okay. This guy wants to know something about thickness of glass.
Mm.
He says, "Is there an instrument with which you can put against window glass?" Which will tell you the thickness.
Not
break the glass, then measure it. This is a fixed window. I'm in the process of ordering 11 new windows, and I want to gauge that thickness that they're using on the windows these days. I know what they say they're using, but I'm paying for a thicker glass, and I want to be sure that that's what I'm receiving.
Yeah.
There ought to be a gauge that would measure glass. You would think so, huh?
You would think so.
If there is, I never heard of it.
I don't know. That's something. You got me.
I have absolutely no idea. So he's buying new windows, and he's paying for thicker glass, but he wants to make sure.
Make damn sure that they're giving.
Getting what he's paying for,
yeah. Thicker,
yeah.
You got me, brother.
Makes sense to me, but I mean, I don't know.
Surely to goodness.
I wonder why he ordered thicker glass anyway.
I not know.
But an optometrist could tell you, couldn't they?
Yeah, because they can measure the
thickness of glasses.
Thickness and strength of lenses. So.
Well, sure they could.
So surely there is, but I bet it's an expensive.
Probably inexpensive.
You might call A to Z Rentals.
Yeah, I was going to say, your local tool rental place probably won't.
I bet they won't have that.
Stock that.
No, I bet they won't stock that little tool. A to Z Rentals.
You know. But I tell you, Mick, and tell us about that, and that's our guest that's coming up today that is going to talk to us about replacing a car window.
Hey.
And talking about glass. Now, he may know the thickness.
He may know the thickness.
Glass.
And I wonder if Max saw that post. One of those guys with a degree in physics.
I don't know.
I don't know. Anyway, I didn't see that post, but we'll get right on that. We'll let you. We'll get back to you. Don Yearns. Is it Ron?
Ron. Sure is.
Ron Yearns. We've had him on before. We're going to have him on again. He's our guest today. Be back in just a minute with more of this little show called The Blind Handyman.
Made a lot of new friends on the Blind Like Me list that I'll never forget.
Well, them crazy people on that Blind Like Me list just talk about the silliest thing.
To join the Blind Like Me list, send a blank email to blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
Okay, I love being on the Blind Like Me list because I'm the moderator and I get to delete people if I want to.
If you enjoy chatting with other blind folks, come join us on the Blind Like Me list. Send a blank email to blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. Blind Handyman List serve.
The thing I like the best about the Blind Handyman List, great place to exchange information and gather ideas on anything to do with being a handyman around the house.
I found out how to fix my garbage disposal on the Handyman List, and it worked.
If you'd like to join the Blind Handyman List, send a blank email to blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
The thing I like about the Blind Handyman List, I'm the moderator, and I can delete you if I want to. So don't get out of line, stay on topic.
That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
This is the Blind Handyman. Be sure and tell a friend about the program and email us often from blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Now, here's more of the show with Don Shaw.
Well,
hey, Mr. Ron.
Yeah, good afternoon, Don.
Hey, man, how's everything?
Oh, it's a little bit on the warm side here.
Well,
pretty normal for us.
It's a little bit on the hot side here now.
Where is here? Where is here, Ron?
Warrensburg, Missouri.
Warrensburg,
that's
Missouri.
Southeast of Kansas City.
That's, well, that's far enough north you wouldn't think it'd get too hot up there, would you? Yeah.
Well, it does its best.
It does its best, huh? Now, we had you on how long ago? About a year ago, I guess, or better.
Gosh, it's been a while.
It was last summer.
It's been a day or two, so we'll ask you all these silly questions that we asked you the first time over.
All these new listeners.
Because we've all forgotten. What do I hear? Is that your grandkids in the background?
Yes, sir.
Got them grandchildren. They're expensive. I mean, grandkids are expensive items. I'm glad I don't have more than three or four of them.
Uh-huh.
Because they're expensive. You're totally blind, sir?
No, I'm a poor partial.
A poor partial.
Poor partial.
Yeah.
So you got a little bit of sight.
Yep.
Yeah, and you're...
I can see the outline of my hands, I put it in front of the window type thing.
And that's about it?
That's about it.
That's about it. Well, it's like my first wife. It's better than nothing. Excuse me, you can't say that. You can't say that on the radio,
you
can
say
you?
Say anything we want, can't
that's
we?
That's terrible.
Hey, you own it, don't you?
I guess we do, but
say anything we want.
Well, they may take us off, my guy's saying. Anyway, you're retired, I guess, from whatever you used to do.
Well, I guess so. I try to do a lot of other things, but yes, I'm retired and disabled.
Basically retired and disabled. How, if you born like this, where, how'd you lose your eyesight? What happened?
It's what they had, retinitis pigmentosa.
Okay.
It was a gradual thing.
All right, just gradually. Go ahead. Did it gradually
went
away?
Yeah, I worked like 27 years, so I got a state retirement in addition to Social Security.
Well, man, you got
that,
it made.
We that may, helped.
We may, got it covered, don't you?
We may have to come up there and drink beer with you.
That's right.
Better wait till more kids move out.
Wait till those kids move out. Those kids are expensive. That's what I was telling you. It's grandkids are expensive. What did you do when you worked?
I was an electrician, electrical supervisor.
Yeah.
Whoa.
A local university here.
For the local university. Did you teach or were you in maintenance?
Maintenance.
You maintained the equipment or the did what now?
The equipment, the electrical systems, elevators, kitchen equipment.
Oh yeah, okay.
It's some of all of it. That would have been great.
That would be nice. So you learned a lot about those kind of things, right?
Learned a lot about a lot of things.
It wouldn't get boring, would it?
I wouldn't think it would.
I was not one to just stay with electrical stuff. Well, I was poor. I had to learn how to take care of my house, too.
Yeah, you do. You do. You got to know how to do a little of everything if you're going to own a house.
Yeah, no kidding.
That is correct.
That.
But now, I think Don said you had something specific you wanted to talk about, and that was what, a car? Tell us what your car window?
Your latest repair project.
Your latest repair
he
project.
Was talking about a post I'd put on the list. Some time ago, the electric car window.
Yeah,
on the driver's side.
Uh-huh.
It would fall down. And, you know, you could grab it and pull it up by hand, but if it fell too far, then you was up the creek, right?
Yes, sir, you would be.
Grab.
Yeah,
you would be.
So I had done repairs on other Ford cars, you know, power windows, no big deal. So I figured this would be pretty sane.
Yeah.
Well, it pretty well wasn't.
You never know what you're going to get into, do you?
All right. Now, what year car is this? This is a Ford.
This is 96 Mercury.
96 Mercury, so it is a Ford product. And so we pop the door panel off, and let's go from there.
Well, to get the door panel off, I'm a great believer in the right manuals and books and stuff, so I pulled out the one I got from Ford Motor Company.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, take this screw here, pop this hiding thing, and pop this screw out from here and there, so.
Okay.
Taking the door panel isn't just a matter of grabbing and jerking.
No, because you got it. The thing, you can grab it and jerk it, you can get it off, but you got to put it back on.
That would be the problem.
Well, if there's enough pieces, we would hope so.
Yeah, that would be the deal.
So anyway, you get it off, and I'm used to a big, like a quarter round gear and motors and things, and there in the bottom was a bunch of cable. Fine wire cable.
That had broken and fallen down in the bottom of the window, of the door.
Right.
In the bottom. Okay.
There was like two, well, it's a wide, about 4 or 5 inch wide piece of metal with tracks on each edge. And there was a carrier set on that track. And there was a cable went up through some pulleys on the top side and out the bottom. Then it went over to the motor. And that motor then turned and pulled them cables up and down, which then would move the window. Well, I guess that kind of makes sense. Like a cable elevator, I could live with this.
Same principle.
Well, I read more in the book, and I had to take the window glass out to get through that.
Okay, you couldn't.
I thought this was just about stupid.
You couldn't just push the glass up and wedge it some way and get to it?
No, there wasn't enough room.
Really?
It hung down over the mechanism.
Okay.
Where you couldn't get it in and out.
That's figures.
So you had to take the glass out.
Yep.
So you had to take the door completely apart.
Pretty well.
Man.
Oh, there's a lot of pieces still in there, but, yeah, I had to take the trim on the inside around the window and put the carrier clear down, and then you could, well, first off, we had to take some rivets out.
Oh, man.
They don't bolt things together. They rivet them in there.
Yeah.
They're big. Oh, I would say that was a, well, half, you know, quarter-inch rivets.
How'd you get them out?
Well, you know, it's a pop rivet.
Yeah.
You have that pin in the middle.
You should be able to hit it, and it'll come right out.
Yeah, you should be.
But it didn't work like that?
And the ones that were easy to get to, of course, when that pin breaks, if it's above the surface, you've got a uneven thing to get your pin against.
Yep.
When you're driving. So some of them, I mean, they drove hard too. And I looked at the pins and they had like splines on them, small splines, little grooves.
Really?
Yeah.
To hold them.
I had the pin itself. And once I got the pin out, then the rivet was a, you know, easy to drill.
Yeah.
You take a quarter inch bit and goes in there and falls out. Except for one on the glass, of course. And, of course, pounding on that, you got to have the glass that just kind of sets up in there. So I had to get a pipe bushing and a nipple, get it in behind, and then screw it out to give it enough support to drive against that pin.
Man. Now, you're behind the glass. And you got a pipe and a bushing of it threaded on the pipe.
Yeah.
And
screw it in to get enough room to move it in there, and then screw it back out to wedge it in.
In other words, you kind of move where you get your hands in there.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. That keeps, you know, supports the glass while you're pounding on that rivet so you don't break your glass.
Yes, sir. If you broke the glass, it curtains.
If I broke the glass, I'd have to listen to my wife and take it to a pro.
Yeah, you would. That's what she tried to get you to do to begin with, right?
Yeah, oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're always like
that. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Ron.
Ron.
The window fell down. That was Saturday night. And we were scheduled to drive about a two-hour drive the next day.
Man.
And we couldn't pull the window up. So I had to take the panel off that night and raise it up by hand and, you know, duct tape it up and stuff, so I'd say.
Yeah.
So we could drive in our nice, cool weather here with air conditioning.
So you could have air conditioning in the car. Go ahead, Shaw. What was you going to ask?
Now, there was one rivet, of course, that I could not get it to punch out.
There's always got to be one.
So I took a hacksaw blade.
Okay, I know what you did.
Wound my hands up in that mess somewhere
and sawed
the head off.
Sawed the head off, and there we go. Yeah. Of course,
and it was at least in a spot I could do that. If it had been a different one, I couldn't have got to it.
Couldn't have gotten it, yeah.
But now this was all after you got back from this two-hour voyage that you did on Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
This was, you got home.
Yeah, and this was over multiple days and evenings, too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
get it all out.
Okay.
Get the new piece ordered. Supposed to be here Tuesday. No, wasn't there when I called. Called the next day, yeah, it's here, so I go out there, and of course they can't find it because that's a different person.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
15, 20 minutes later, they find it. It's the right looking piece because they brought out something first that It wasn't even close. You know how that goes.
Yeah.
That, and got home and was putting things all back in. That was going relatively well. Even putting the glass in was a little hassle, but it went in.
I bet it was.
So then, well, let's try this babe out. Well, it goes down about a third away and stalls.
Oh, God. That's not good. Not good at
when
all.
When it rains, don't it?
But you hadn't, yeah. At this time, had you hadn't put the door back together. You hadn't put the panel back on the door.
I was just stringing a piece of lamp cord from the battery over to it and touching it together.
And so you put it came down a third of the way installed. Why?
Yeah.
What was the deal?
A little side note here. My daughter was helping hold the window glass.
Uh-huh.
And she said, that fan smoking that we had out there. She says, no, it's not the fan. It's that stupid wire you got run across the engine.
Oh, man.
Well, I had gotten the wires together, you know, let them lay there. And
they were touching.
You know, that stuff will really burn?
Oh, yeah, of course it will. yeah.
I figured it just melt, but there's actual flames.
That DC is bad about that. So
it delayed the project for a few minutes anyway.
I bet it did.
And so that didn't, but it didn't hurt the battery at all.
No.
Battery was unforgiving. It had current. It just kept going.
That's right. It just kept producing.
Oh, man.
So then all this was stalling, bound up. Well, inside the track, there's some rubber weather stripping down at the bottom for some reason. I guess it just did the whole length.
Uh-huh.
Well, it had worn and broke through there and was doubling back over and what have you.
Uh-huh.
So with a razor blade, sealing up in there, then you cut all that excess rubber out, fold it, and may fold again.
And we had no weather stripping then.
Man.
Well, you still got the felt. This is just the outer rubber. It's down in the door.
Yeah.
The what's still above up in the air is
wow.
Still good.
Yeah.
And that helped, but that didn't cure at all. There's two channels. The front one you're supposed to take loose and move it to get the glass out.
Okay.
Well, I put it back where it was. But to get it to work, I took the bottom mount totally loose so it just kind of sits there and bends as it needs to. Because, of course, you know, there's no glass that's flat and straight anymore. There's a curved glass.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
So we're following a curved track, but evidently, the two didn't exactly mesh. And now this track comes all pre-lubed, of course. But I succeeded in taking all that lubrication off and put it on my hands.
Yeah, I bet.
Process.
You. Yeah.
So I had to go to the store and get a can of lubricant to put on it.
What kind of lubricant? Dry?
Well,
graphite?
The Ford book said you're supposed to use Teflon-based grease.
Okay.
And my parts guy kind of looked at me and said, well, how much you need? I've got it in a little bitty tube like you'd put on
lock
pipe threads.
Yeah.
Well, no, I'm needing a little more than that. I thought I did have some plumber's dope, you know, with Teflon base. I thought about using it, but that still tends to set up a little bit. So he had some white lithium grease there. And I cleaned the old stuff off then with some mineral spirits and put the white lithium on it because that's kind of made for that kind of stuff and breaks and too. It doesn't collect dirt.
Yeah.
Is the theory.
Yeah, it doesn't collect dirt. That's the most important thing.
Yeah.
So with that track loose and that greased up good, it's operating pretty decent then.
So it moves up and down fairly good since then.
Yep. You know, there's a little bit of a slowdown at one point, but it's going through it.
Now, what was the besides the labor on this job, how much did it cost you to do this?
I think it was $65 for the part.
$65 for the part.
Yeah.
Which means it would have been $250 if you'd had it done.
Well, I never checked the book or asked anybody, but I figured it'd been closer to $300-$400.
Yeah, $250 to $300 is what I would figure that they would, because they you know, you could have found some old boy that had done this before, but he realized it was going to be a hell of a job, just which you didn't realize.
Yeah,
but well,
the story's not quite done.
Okay, go ahead.
I was
all right.
working too late one night.
Yeah.
You know, when you get tired, that's the time to quit.
Yeah.
But putting the door cover on, just about had it all going. Set the switches in there, that you know, in the armrest. Well, let's just see how it's doing. I'm thinking, why is that door dinging like that? I got the keys out of the switch. That door open shouldn't be dinging.
Mm-hmm.
Well, nothing else is working. No door lock.
No nothing.
Oh,
no power window.
You've blown the fuse.
Oh, no.
That's what I figured, so I just hung it up, pulled out some schematics and stuff, and was looking to see where the fuse was. That, you know, with a CCTV, I can blow it up enough I can eventually read it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And so I had that figured out. Got up the next morning and was thinking, I said, you know, there ain't no reason that door ajar thing should be dinging. I've got something smashed together. That's after I'd found the circuit breaker and it was okay.
Yeah.
So I took the door panel loose again.
Again.
And kind of fished the wires around and kind of, you know, laid them up where I thought maybe that'd be better and less strain on them. And tried it, and gee, it decided to work then.
So you still don't know what you had touching?
I have no idea. I had something twisted together, or the inside of the switch smashed down too hard where it shouldn't have been, or some deal. Don't know.
But it's working now, today.
Yep, and I got the door panel back on. It was kind of a bind the first time. This time it seemed to fit pretty decent. And it's working today still.
What a project.
Well, what a project. I'd have took it somewhere.
I wouldn't have had enough. That's what I was going to say. Man, that'd take a lot of nerve. I wouldn't have had the nerve, I don't think. I would be afraid I'd really screw it up and just not be able to get it put back together would be my problem.
Yeah.
The worst thing I could have done is broke the glass.
The worst thing you could have done is broke the glass and not been able to get the panel back on the door, and we've just $1,000 has gone from book value.
Nervy project.
I wouldn't have had that much nerve.
Me neither. I wouldn't have. Man.
But you were.
Well, I never had much chance, but figuring out I couldn't do something that I wanted to try. But
well,
I'm learning that there are some things I really shouldn't do.
You learned a lot. by doing this, you learned a lot. I mean, you know, who'd have figured cable? I had no idea. I figured a gear wheel deal, like just a big gear and a small gear.
That's what I expected.
The motor runs the small gear, which moves the big gear, which moves the window up and down on the tracks.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only. I saw one. I never have taken it apart, but somebody had a door panel off a car, and I looked at it one time.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought that's how they still did it.
I've never seen one.
That's what I thought too when I started.
So you figured it was going to be simple. You figured one of those gears is stripped, or one of those gears is.
Well, I figured it was in the gear motor housing there.
Yeah, yeah.
I've had to rework those different times.
Kind of
transmission affair in there. You open up, put in new gears and stuff.
Which would have been a lot simpler than what you ended up having to do.
Yeah, quite a bit.
Well, you need to.
Quite a bit.
you need to post this on the list. You need to write this story down.
I did. That's the reason Don called me.
So it's all on the list.
It sure is.
I did not read it. I'm sorry. I have not seen that.
It was a good post, real good post.
But that's good, because there'll be some other old blind boy that'll run into the same.
Oh, yeah, someone will need to know this info one day.
The exact same deal.
There was just one little imperfection.
And that was?
The panel that the switches fit down into the armrest.
Uh-huh.
It would not snap back in there where it should stay. It'd keep popping up.
Uh-huh.
No, that ain't no big problem for me, right? You just get the drill and a couple of screws.
And
screw it back together.
So you did.
Yeah. And that afternoon, my wife said, what's them two screws for?
Yep.
You noticed that, huh?
She did. Well, you should have got.
Oh, yeah.
You should have got carriage bolts of some kind that would have been pretty on top, and it wouldn't have bothered.
She wouldn't have noticed.
But here's the thing: I forgot to ask you this. Those rivets that you took out, what did you put back in their place? You've got a pop rivet gun, and you just popped them back.
I had a rivet gun, but it would not handle the quarter inch rivets.
It wouldn't.
The Ford manual says, you know, use rivets or quarter inch bolts. By it was half inch in one spot and an inch in another spot.
And so you just happened to have what you needed on hand.
actually I didn't have enough of the right length, but
yeah,
you know, there was like four one size and five another.
Run to the hardware store.
Yeah, 60 some cents, no big deal.
Yeah, have you got a hardware store there that you can go in and pick up? You didn't have to go to Lowe's or Home Depot. You got a local hardware store guy?
I actually have bought these at the auto parts place because okay. I remember needing them.
Okay.
When I picked up the part for the window mechanism.
And the guy probably knows you by now, didn't he, huh?
Yeah,
some in there know me pretty well.
Lots of trips to the auto parts.
Guys are on a first-name basis there at the auto parts.
Yeah.
Well, good story, Ron.
This is not the first car I've torn apart.
I don't, and probably won't, it's like we say,
be the last either, will it?
Well, that's a great...
Well, I hope not.
Yeah. What is the temperature there in southeastern Missouri?
Oh, gee, I don't know. It's probably, guessing 96 today.
Is that right? So about the same as
about
it
like
is.
Here.
About like here.
Yeah.
Man.
I don't know if we actually hit 100 mark this year or not earlier on.
You'd actually think that being that far north, it wouldn't be that hot, but I guess
that's what you'd think.
You would.
But we have way extremes, but, you know, for the general part, July and August, yeah, you're talking 90, high 80s, low 90s.
Okay, but you get a good bit of snow. You get lots of cold weather, too, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember 2 weeks it was below zero day and night.
Whoa.
In early December.
So you actually have seasons there, as opposed to us.
I sure do.
As opposed to us here in Texas, we just have kind of one season, hot. That's about
pretty
it.
Pretty much, isn't it?
Well, Ron, good story and good luck, and we thank you, sir, and you keep on keeping on, and we appreciate you being on the list.
Hey, by the way, what show number is this?
This is 128.
128. I can't keep track which ones I'm on.
This is going to be 128. If you don't find it, we'll send you a copy of it, sir.
All righty.
Tell them grandchildren hi. Thank you, sir.
Thanks,
we'll talk to you. Back with more of the Blind Handy Man Just a Fact. Hang on.
Like Me list.
And I have made a lot of new friends on the Blind Like Me list that I'll never forget.
Well, them crazy people on that Blind Like Me list just talk about the silliest thing.
To join the Blind Like Me list, send a blank email to blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
Okay, I love being on the Blind Like Me list because I'm the moderator. And I get to delete people if I want to.
If you enjoy chatting with other blind folks, come join us on the Blind Like Me list. Send a blank email to blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. About the Blind Handyman list, sir?
The thing I like the best about the Blind Handyman list, great place to exchange information and gather ideas on anything to do with being a handyman around the house.
I found out how to fix my garbage disposal on the handyman list. And it works.
If you'd like to join the Blind Handyman list, send a blank email to blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
The thing I like about the Blind Handyman list, I'm the moderator, and I can delete you if I want to. So don't get out of line. Stay on topic.
That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
Well, we have made a little switch here.
We have.
This is totally weird. Completely weird. Tom had to make a trip there, so I'm behind the board. Your engineer is Phil Parr.
That's right.
Anyway, what do you want to talk about?
Oh, man, I just wanted to comment first. Man, that Ron took on, that is one nervy project. I just wouldn't have, man, that's just.
10 years ago, I probably would have. Not these days, I would have taken it somewhere to somebody because I don't have that, I just don't have that kind of nerve anymore. I'm afraid, I don't know what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid I'll get some apart and can't.
That's my problem. I think some of that, though, is working like Mary's brother, kind of. We're always working with maintenance-type things, probably.
Yeah, you get just, used to.
But you get used to it. But I have the same, you know, taking and something like that, I always think about, man, what if I get this apart and just cannot put it back? You know, what's going to...
I think
just,
you get older. But he, of course, he has a lot more experience working with things like that than you or I, either one.
Oh, no doubt.
I mean, you and I are just, we're just, you know, we're just kind of handyman guys who've done a few things.
Oh, sure.
He did this like Mary's brother.
For years and years and years.
For a living for a long time. And so he knows a lot more. Like I said, I've only seen that assembly one time, and this was on somebody's car that they were working on, had a door panel on, and I was there, and he went to do something, and I remember looking in the door, because I thought, I want to see how this works, and there were two gears, a big one and a little one, and I just, you know, the motor obviously was a little one, and so, I've only seen that deal, I've never worked on one.
But the cable thing really sounds like it's a screwed up deal.
I don't understand, I didn't understand how it worked.
Wild.
Did you?
No, because I'm not familiar with elevators. He said it was similar to an elevator.
So let's get him sometime on the show to talk about elevators and how they work.
I'd like to, that would be interesting. That would be an interesting topic just to know about it, just for the hell of it would be.
Good show. Are you back?
Tom is. Is
that him
back in the building?
Stumbling through the door there?
Back in the building.
He's back in the building again. What time is it? Oh, we got 10 minutes.
We got some time to kill.
We got a new dog we'll tell you about later. Her name is Sarah, and we'll talk about her later. Anyway, let me change places.
I got a little deal I can talk about here for a minute.
You ready, Tom?
We was just kicking along Sunday afternoon, and everything was just rolling along kind of like a normal Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
And just all at once, we heard the oven. Man, it just started beeping. And said, man, this is kind of strange. And went over and started pushing buttons, and it just kept beeping at us. And finally hit the clear off button, and it stopped. I said, that's kind of strange. Maybe one of these grandchildren or someone was messing around with the oven or something. I didn't know. Just didn't think much more about it.
Yep.
Walked away. And 5 minutes later, I'm damned if it didn't start beeping again. So I said, man, this is really strange now. And went back and hit the clear off button again and got it to stop. But then I started pushing more buttons and just kind of happened to notice that the oven light, nor the bake, nor any other button would work. The clock set, no other button on the oven would do anything except the clear off. And when I was standing there kind of thinking about all that, it started beeping again.
Yeah.
So, you know, same thing. Hit the clear off button. I said, man, I'm going to kill the power to the oven. Just going to shut off the breaker, and maybe that'll reset
Think would reset it.
So I did. I went in and shut off the breaker. Left it off for about 5 minutes, in fact. Went back, turned it on, and I'm damned if 2 minutes later it didn't do the same thing.
Same thing.
So we, at that point, said, that Mary came and looked at it, actually, and saw that it was displaying a code, which was F7 on the oven display. And I said, well, luckily we still had the book, believe it or not, to the oven, and went and found the book, broke it out, and looked up that code, and naturally couldn't find it. And but there was a GE, which is the name of the oven, which is the brand of the oven. There was a hotline, and called the hotline number, got a technician, and technician knew right away. Said, this F7 means that the master board, that the brains of the oven is probably out. If you shut off the power, if you hit the clear off and turn back on the power and it beeps at you again, it's probably a bad board. So we said, well, great, because the oven isn't that old. I think it had maybe been replaced probably in about 96 or 97.
Well, when Tom lived in the house, I'm saying 97 or 98, Houston.
We moved there in 98.
So you moved there in late.
There.
You moved there in late 98. So
that's
I'm
right.
saying this was early in 98 or late in 97 when we replaced that oven.
Probably so. Yeah.
It would be good. Anyway.
So anyway, in the meantime, I said, man, is it worth getting a new board for or just replacing the whole oven? And we kind of started getting some prices on the new board, which unlike Ron, I just don't know if I had enough nerve to go in and try to find the board and change it. But when we found out the price of the board, kind of said, well, just new oven, because they wanted like $250 for the board. You know, that's before any labor, anything.
Well, the only thing is I would have liked to pull the board out and put it back in to make sure it was seated good, to make sure that it wasn't just a problem with the, you know. But where is it?
That'd be the I don't know.
I have no idea.
I've taken the oven out of the wall. The oven's sitting on the playroom floor at this point. I could take apart. And there's nothing to lose at this point because we've already ordered a new oven. You know, I could take off the front and, like, see if I could find a board or something to it, but...
And reseat the board, but then you'd have two ovens. What are you going to do?
But I figure it's the board has gone bad because it's worked fine for however many years it's been in there, and this is a problem that's just started. So you know it's probably something that
7 years
happened to the board.
Well, why would it just happen, though?
I don't know.
So that's what I don't understand.
But it obviously it must have happened to other people because right away when we gave them the code, which was F7, they seemed to know that they said the board is out. You know, it's the end of the line. So
In this guy's manual that would just you called F7, right into that it says, this guy's screwed.
it should have. If it didn't, it should have. That's a fact. Because, man, who would, you know, a 6 or 7 year old oven's not that.
No, sir.
Not that old at all. You guys are still have the original. That was in this house to start with.
Yeah, that we put in this house to start with. But you know. I don't know what you bought, but Dale Campbell has this oven.
That figures.
Do what?
Old cooking Dale.
Well, now, when you turn this oven on, it comes on at 350, and it has an up and down arrow, and if you push it down once, it becomes 345.
Ours moves the same way.
5 degrees.
Yep.
It was this one that was in the house the same that
same
way?
Same deal, yeah.
Okay.
See, it had no knobs on it. Everything was touch.
Yeah.
But it was the same deal. You touch start, and the default setting was 350, and same thing. You hit plus or minus and 5 degrees. So.
Okay, so the new one that you ordered will have the same...
Same deal. I guess they're making them all that way now.
Well, mine still has two knobs on it.
That's the deal. If this one would have been the kind that had the knobs, it would have probably been fine.
Yeah.
But it's just when that board goes out, I guess it just defeats the whole.
Well, I'd like to have a new one that comes on at 350 and you can set exact temperatures with it.
Well, any new one you bought probably would do that now. Mm. I think that's just not even an option.
What did you buy? What kind did you buy?
Bought a Sears Kenmore.
Just Sears, and they're going to bring it out and put it in, or what?
No, actually, I'm going to put it in.
Because I know the guys that put that one in.
They're going to bring it out, and I'm going to put it in. Probably next Wednesday, Tuesday or Wednesday.
One of the guys that put that one in is sitting here today.
I know.
Sir. The other one is over there going, damn, I wish we'd got a boat instead of a pool.
Yeah. Well, I found out something kind of strange about this wiring on this oven deal.
I'd rather not discuss it, if you don't mind. I'd rather not talk
real
about
strange.
It. It was an awful short wire, wasn't it?
It was kind of a short wire, but what was stranger about the deal was when I unhooked the oven. Actually, when I unhooked the oven, there was actually two wires, a big kind of round wire coming down from the ceiling, and a flat jacketed wire. Both of them heavy. I'm talking real thick, like probably number 8 wire
that came down from the oven.
That came down from the ceiling. And then the one set of wires that was in conduit pipe that I knew went to the oven.
Yeah.
So I unhooked all three wires, and I figured, everything, you know, I'll pull out the oven. But what I didn't know is once I got the oven out and turned back on the power, that the stovetop didn't work either. And what the deal was, these two wires have to be hooked together the flat jacketed wire and the round wire that came down have to be hooked together for the stovetop to work. In other words, everything's on the same circuit, the stove and the oven.
I didn't know that.
Are both on the same circuit.
So they're obviously in series. I absolutely did not. Now, I know that down in under that oven, there's a box.
There sure is.
That's where the wire and stuff is.
And that's where everything is together.
And if I remember correctly, you have to take that shelf out that's underneath the oven to get to that box without really being strained, don't you?
No.
Oh, no. No. Okay. Now I'm thinking of something else.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's a box under there, and I remember that wire was really short. I remember thinking,
It was really short.
I don't want to have to go get wire nuts and find a piece of Romex. I'm going to make it work, and I did.
Well, it worked, but it I wasn't the one that hooked it up, but I could tell it was just barely was long
enough.
Boy,
it was barely long enough. I really scared me. I thought that was a Sunday morning. Remember, Houston?
Oh, yeah.
But Patterson came over and helped me. I guess... Where were you?
And then we weren't here yet, I guess.
Well, when did you move here? 97?
We moved here in 96.
Well, I don't know, because if we'd have done that project, I can't imagine you not being
there. I wasn't there, so.
Because anyway, did I hear theme music?
You did.
Yes, sir.
Well, Ron Yearns, once we got him, he's like, what do they say? Cindy ain't the going steady type, but once you get her going, she's steady. Well, that's the way Ron Yearns is. Once you get him going, he's steady. I didn't think we were going to get him to talk. Once he got to talking, he had a story, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. Had a great story.
And a great story it was. Good luck from Missouri, sir. Thank you, Don Shaw.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate y'all coming. Don Patterson will be back next week with stories.
Next week.
Swimming pool stories.
Yeah.
We'll look forward to that. Thank you all for listening. I'm Phil Parse. He said the blind man as he picked up his hammer and saw. Bye-bye.
The Blind Handyman is produced by Out of Market Productions, 1604 Southwood Drive, Lufkin, Texas. Phone 936-634-9500.